In your Bibles, please turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. In your Schofield Bible, page 1251. Ephesians chapter 2, reading verses 8 and 9. And then after we read those verses, I'll direct you to another place in the Bible. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, page 1251. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. We'll read all together in unison, verses 8 and 9. Let's begin, please. Ready? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Go now to Romans chapter 12, page 1206. Read the first three verses. I'll read verse 1. You will read verse 2. And together we will read verse 3, which is the text verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And together, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And let's pray. And Lord, we pray for, of course, thy special help and blessing and power to be in this service. We thank you for our church. We thank you for these good people. It's a wonderful thing to be able to come here. Our hearts are filled and encouraged and blessed each and every time. But you have something for us today, and speak, we pray, to our hearts through our preacher, and give us attentiveness to the most important thing that's taking place anywhere in the world, as far as we're concerned. Give us thy help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You will walk out this morning saying, "That was a nugget of gold. I've never probably heard it exactly like that in my life." To those of you who casually listen to my sermons, you'll not get one single thing out of the service today. And probably you don't deserve anything because you didn't pay very much anyway. Those who listen to those who pay, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I ask you this morning to give me your undivided attention. I'm going to speak on the subject, very unpretentious subject, but a wonderful, wonderful truth that is seldom known, called how to live by faith. How to live by faith. Holy Father, my God and my Father, my Redeemer, my Savior, I want this morning to feed the hearts and souls of thy people and those to whom thou hast entrusted to me. And so I pray today that you would help me, that I may give to them exactly what they need, so we can serve thee better. Come in power in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. It'll be line upon line, precept upon precept. First thing I want to say is that everything that God has is obtained by faith. Everything that God has is obtained by faith. You do not get things from God because you're separated, though you should be separated. You get things from God by faith. You wonder why your prayers aren't answered. You get things from God not necessarily by praying. The Bible doesn't say praying shall save the sick. It said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So it is faith that gets you things from God. Faith is the key that unlocks all of God's cupboards. You don't get things from God because you're dedicated, though you should be dedicated. You don't get things from God because you're faithful, though you should be faithful. You get things from God by faith. Now then, there are different degrees of faith mentioned in the Bible. For example, in Matthew 6 and 30, we talk have the term little faith. In Matthew 8 and 10, we have the term great faith. In Luke 17 and 5, we have the term increased faith. In Matthew 17 and 20, we have a mention of faith like a grain of mustard seed. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, we have the term full faith. And all of that is underlined by Romans 12:6, where it talks about our proportion of faith. Now listen to me, and no note-taking, please. Look right this way. I want you to follow me very, very carefully. That means that some people here this morning have little faith, and that means you get little from God, because faith is the way you get things from God. Some of you have a great faith, and so you get many things from God. Some of you have full faith, and so you can get anything you want, perhaps, from God. But according to your faith, so be it, the Bible says. Now, there's not a single person in this room this morning who does not want to get things from God. Somebody has a child that's ill, and you want God to restore that child. Somebody has a financial problem, and you want God to supply your financial needs. Somebody has an illness, and you want God to heal you. Somebody has another type of burden, and you want God to lift that burden. Now, the truth is, everybody in this room today wants to get things from God. Now, you listen to me. The way you get things from God is faith. There are some Christians, I think, who are better Christians than others who get less things from God than people who are not as good Christians as they are. There are some people who are not as faithful as others. There are some people perhaps not as dedicated as others, and some people perhaps not as separated as others, who get more things from God. Because you don't get things from God because you're a good Christian. You get things from God by faith. Now listen to me. If you want things from God, and you want to get things from God, then I'm preaching this morning, when you get it by faith, and I'm preaching on how to get faith, then certainly you ought to sit up and listen carefully so you can learn how to get faith, because by faith you get things from God. Now, I want to give you that first statement I said. Everything that God has is obtained by faith. The second statement I made was there are different degrees of faith. The third statement, so all do not have the same faith. Some have little faith, some have great faith, some have increased faith, some have full faith. So all people do not get the same thing from God because all people have faith. Now, I want you to follow this very, very carefully. An interesting thing is, God provides the faith. Listen carefully. God provides the faith. We read last week in one of our texts for our sermon, Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Now, in Romans 1:17, it says the just shall live by faith, but in Habakkuk 2:4, there's one more word there. It says the just shall live by his faith. What does that mean? That means the very faith we put in God is provided by him. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What not of yourselves? The faith is not of yourselves. So, God must provide the faith that you place back in him. Now, does that mean then that God chooses whom he saves? Does that mean that God says, okay, I'm going to save one over here, and one up here, and one up here, and so I'm going to come down today and give them faith so they can put that faith in me, and God chooses whom he gives the faith? No, that's not true. Our song said a while ago, whosoever will, shout the sound. Spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Now, how then can we reconcile this, that you've got to will to come to Christ? Nobody will go to heaven unless he wills to go to heaven. He chooses to go to heaven. He decides to go to heaven. He decides to trust the Savior. Now, how can that be reconciled with this thing that God provides our faith? All right? Now, you listen very, very carefully, and you're going to learn something. Number one, God gives to all men a measure of faith. God gives to all men. We read it a while ago. Here's what it says. It says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly," now get this, "according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now hear me. Let's suppose this is the entire world today. Everybody in the world is here this morning. Now then, God gives the same measure of faith to each one of us. It's sort of like a mother or father. Years ago, my sister and I would go to the state fair. It's always held in Dallas. We'd go to the state fair. And if mother had some money, she'd give my sister a dollar and she'd give me a dollar. Now, it was up to us how we spent the dollar. I could spend my dollar one way. I used to spend mine on things to eat, and then she spent hers on rides. Personally, I'd rather eat than ride, and still would rather eat than ride. But my mother gave me a dollar. I could do what I wanted with a dollar. Now, God has given every man the same measure of faith. It said He's given to every man the, not a measure of faith, not to you some faith, you more faith. No, God does not give some faith, a little faith to some, great faith to others, full faith to others. No, God gives to every man the measure of faith. Now, the second thing I want to say, you may use that faith where you will. Are you listening? You may use that. God gives every man the measure of faith. Now, it's up to you where you use that faith. You may squander it if you choose. You may place it in Him. Or you may place it in the government. Or you may place it in man. Or you may place it in religion. Or you may place it in a priest. Or you may place it in Social Security. You may decide where you spend this faith that God gives you. Do you follow me? All right? So, God... Yeah, the faith is provided by God. But God does not give you faith that you must put in Him. God gives you faith, and then God lets you decide where you put it. You may believe in something. You may believe in something else. It's up to you. Illustration. My mother and father did not agree about the gospel. My father did not want me to go to church. He didn't like preachers. My mother told me that the Bible was the Word of God. My father told me that he did not believe in the Bible. My mother told me I ought to go to church. My father told me there's no need to go to church. Many a Sunday morning, my mother has begged me when I was a little boy, I'm talking about 5 and 6 years old, begged me to go to church, Sunday school and church with her, and my father would beg me to go to a tavern with him. Now, I could choose whom I believed. You follow me? I could take the faith that God gave me, and I could squander that faith on what my father said. It was up to me. Or I could take that faith that God gave me, and I could give that faith, put my faith in my mother. But it was up to me. Now, God gives you faith, but God makes you a steward of that faith, and it's up to you how you use that faith. So if you go to hell, it's because you don't use that faith right. God has given to you. You cannot generate saving faith. You cannot generate any faith. But God has given to every man the measure of faith, and that man can do what he wants to do with that faith. Illustration. When I went to the University of Texas in Arlington, Texas for a year, I heard them for one solid year pound that the Word of God was not true. They laughed at this book. They tried to disprove this book. They scoffed at this book. They ridiculed this book. Make fun of this book. And I had an awful time. My mother taught me that every word in this book was the Word of God. And the professors taught me that this book was not the Word of God. Now listen to me. I'm preaching to you, and I expect you to listen to what I'm saying. Listen. Mama taught me the book was true. Now, God gave me faith. As a freshman in college, God gave me faith. Now, He did not make me put that faith anywhere. He allowed me to spend my measure of faith anywhere I wanted to spend my measure of faith. Are you listening to me? So, I had a choice. I could spend my faith in the professor. I could spend my faith in my mother and trust my mother's word. Up to me. Up to me. All right? I wrestled with that thing for an entire year. And as you've heard me say many times, I decided to pray. Read the Bible through on my knees. So as a freshman at the University of Texas, I read the Bible through every word from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. I read every word in the Bible on my knees. And before I read every day, I would say, Dear God, I'm trying to decide which is true. Is this Bible true? What I was trying to decide was this, where to use my faith. Look, everybody here has faith. Your faith may be in the government, pity you. Your faith may be in Social Security. Your faith may be in your job. But everybody here believes in something. You say, I don't believe in anything. Okay, then you believe in nothing. So you believe in something. You see? It's up to you. Now, if you want to put your faith in God, you may, but God won't make you do it. So God gives you the faith, and then God says, spend it or use it any way you want to use it. Now then, I had a decision to make. After I had read the Bible through on my knees, I had to believe my... So either the Bible's true or not true, is that right? All right, so I had to believe one or the other. I could not be neutral. If I did not believe it was all true, then I believed it wasn't true. If I believed it was all true, I believed it was. So I had that faith. As that dollar my sister and I had going to the fair. We could spend it where we chose to spend it. So I had that faith. I was deciding where to spend that faith. Oh, good night, everybody here that you were a kid. Mama gave you a quarter to go to the candy store, and you went down to the candy store, and you couldn't figure out what to eat, and there's nothing that's better than a 5 and 10 cent old-fashioned 5 and dime candy department. Nothing. You'd look at those little chocolate Hershey's Kisses, and that smells so good, and then those chocolate-covered almonds. Oh, what a way to die. Eat yourself to death with chocolate-covered almonds. And you'd look over here, and you got this these chocolate-covered peanuts, and over here you got the chocolate-covered raisins, and over here you got the taffy, and over here you got the divinity, and over here you got the fudge, and you got only a quarter. Only a quarter. Now, you can spend that quarter for anything you want to spend, but you decide. Now, God has given to everybody in this... Somebody, oh, what great faith he has. He didn't start off with it. He started off with exactly as much faith as you had. All right? So I decided. I read the Bible through on my knees, and I got up off my knees after I'd finished Revelation 22:20, and I said, I am going to put my faith in Mama instead of that professor. I am going to believe Mama's God instead of his idol. Now, I could have believed him, but I could not have believed him and Mama. I had to choose. Where will I put my faith? I'll put my faith in Mama's Bible, in Mama's God, and not the professor's idolatry. It's like an investment. You have some money to invest. Now you decide, where will I invest this money? Will I put it in the bank and draw regular interest? Shall I buy me a bond? Shall I invest it in stocks? Shall I invest it in government bonds? Shall I invest it in local city bonds? Where will I invest my money? Now, you have to choose. What do you do? You're trying to choose. You're using faith. Shall I have faith in the savings department of the bank? Shall I have faith in government bonds? Or shall I put it in a tin can, stick it out in the front yard? That's the best idea. But let me know where it is so I can help you save it. And somebody needs to know, in case you die, where it is. And somebody, so they can pray for you to die. But anyway, you say, where will I? I've got some faith. Well, I put my faith. Okay, what bank? Well, I put my faith in the Gainer Bank. Will I put my faith in the Highland Bank, Bank of Highland? Put my faith in the Lansing Bank? Will I put my faith in a savings and loan? Where will I put my faith? Now then, God has given to everybody in this world the measure of faith. You decide where you're going to put it. If you want to put it in the government, go ahead. You're an idiot, but go ahead. Go ahead. The United States government is almost gone. But put it there. Or you can put it in God. You decide where you put that faith. Okay? I said, number one, God gives to all men a measure of faith. I said, number two, you may use your faith anywhere you choose to use it. Number three, God then gives you more faith as you use the faith He gave you and put it in Him. You see? So you say, here's a man this morning. Here's an unsaved man. He sits here in this service this morning. Now, you have already been given, and let me congratulate you. You have been given the measure of faith. A measure of faith, you were given that. Now, you have used that faith because you came to church this morning. That's why you're here. You said, will I go to church? You have used that measure of faith. Now, okay, so God comes along, hear me now, right now, and God says, I am giving you more faith because you used the faith that you had come to my house this morning. So God gives you this morning saving faith. Now you decide what you do with it. You don't have to trust Him. Let me tell you something. Every person in this house this morning whose name is not written in heaven has faith given by God, where you can, if you choose to trust Him, you can be saved this morning. You have that faith. God has given it to you. It is in your possession right now. Now, if you walk out those doors unsaved and die and go to hell, it's because you chose to put your faith in somebody beside Jesus Christ. But that faith is God's gift. Now, you have been given measure of faith. You have used it wisely. You have come to church, but not only that, you've come to a Bible-believing church. But not only that, you've come to a soul-winning church. But not only that, you've come to a church where a God-called man is behind the pulpit. But not only that, you've come to a church that loves you. But not only that, you've come to a church that is going to tell you how you can go to heaven when you die. So, congratulations. You have used the faith that God has given you wisely. But glory be to God Almighty. He comes along and says, you have invested that faith in me. Now then, I'll give you faith that'll save your soul, save you from hell, send you to heaven when you die, make you a child of God, make you born again, and let you know Christ personally as your Savior. Now that faith is within your grasp this morning. Why? Because you have used the faith. Says some sailor back there this morning. They came to you yesterday and they said, come to church, First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And somebody came to you and said, don't go with that crowd. They're after your money. We may be after your money, but we sure ain't got none of it yet, I'll tell you for sure. Don't you go with that crowd, okay? You had to believe. You had to put your faith in that worker or that harasser. And you said, I believe this guy is sincere. I believe he cares about me. So you said, I am going to get on that bus and go to First Baptist Church of Hammond. You used your faith and put that faith in that worker. Now you sit there this morning. God says to you, I am now giving you more faith. I'm giving you enough faith to save your soul. If you want to go to heaven, you can choose to. Are you going to believe the voice that says there's nothing to that guy? Or the voice that says you believe what he says? Are you going to believe the voice that says this Bible's not true? Or the voice that says this Bible is true? Now, before you walk out this door this morning, you will have put your faith in somebody. Somebody. Now then, let's suppose that what you're going to do, and wise people will, you'll walk down this aisle and you'll get saved. Now, what will God do then? God will give you more faith. God will give you faith to believe or not believe that He'll provide for you. Then if you believe, use that faith to believe that God will provide for you, then God will give you more faith, and you can use that faith if you want to obtain the power of God. But every time that you use the faith that God gives you wisely in Him, He then gives you more faith. Now, if somebody in this room has more faith than somebody else, it's for one reason. He has used the faith that God has given him to put it back in God. And God then gives you dividends
He gives you interest on your investment, and you use that faith. Look, some people here this morning, God gave you faith, and you came to church. Now God has given you faith to trust the Savior. You either trust Him or don't. It's your choice. Let me say it again. God does not give you faith and make you put it back in Him. God does not want to make you love Him any more than you want to make your sweetheart love you. If you could give your sweetheart a pill, and that pill would work on her mind and make her love you, and to many of you guys, it's going to take that to get anybody to love you. But if you could give your sweetheart a pill and make her say, I love you, and make her say, I will marry you, you wouldn't do it. Because you want her to voluntarily choose to love you. And God does not want a bunch of robots that He forces to get saved. God wants you to choose to praise Him, and choose to love Him, and choose to honor Him, and choose to serve Him. So God gives you this faith, like my mother gave my sister and me that dollar to go to the fair, and God says you can use it wisely, or you can squander it. Now that means there comes a time when God has given you some faith and you've used it wisely. God gives you faith to have wisdom. Use that faith for wisdom properly. God gives you faith to have power. Use that faith for power properly. God gives you faith to have love. Everything that God has is obtained by faith. Faith is from God. But it is given to you along with your will, for you to choose where you place that faith. Now you listen to me. Somebody said, when my time comes, I'll get saved. Your time came the first time that you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God gave you at that moment some faith. Now you can put your faith in the devil and his lie. You can put your faith in the modernist and his lie. You can put your faith in the liberal and his lie. You can put your faith in the humanist and his lie. You can put your faith in the communist and his lie. Or you can put your faith in your Creator and His truth. But it's up to you. It's up to you. I said, number one, God gives to all men the measure of faith. I said, number two, you may use that faith where you will. I said, number three, the God then gives you more faith. Number four, God gives you as much faith as you will not squander. You squander the faith God gives you, you won't get a new supply. Listen, show me an unsaved man that believes God will take care of him. Show me an unsaved man that believes God will feed him. Show me an unsaved man that believes God will provide for him the rest of his life. You won't find one. Why? Because God does not give you faith that He will provide for you until you have used the faith that God has given you that He will save you. So, God gives you as much faith as you will not squander. Number five, I said number one, God gives to all the measure of faith. I said number two, you may use it where you will. I said number three, God then gives you more faith. I said number four, God gives you as much faith as you will not squander. Number five, faith wrongly placed is what is fear. Fear is faith in the wrong thing. For fear is. Fear is faith in the wrong thing. You know why you're afraid this morning? You got your trust in the government, and you're afraid the government's going to fall apart. You know why you're afraid this morning? You got your trust in Social Security, and you know they're going broke. You know what you're afraid of this morning? You got your trust in the bank, and you know that banks are dropping off just like that every day. So you're afraid. Ah, but let me tell you something. When a person takes that God-given faith and puts that faith back in the God who gave it, then that person need not fear. That's why Jesus came along and said, fear not. Fear not. Why? He's saying, trust me. Trust me. Fear is faith in the wrong thing. So, listen, it's up to you. Up to you. Listen, don't you sit out there and say, well, if I had as much faith as Dr. Evans did, you started off with the same amount of faith he had. The measure of faith. Same thing. Nobody has a head start on you. Nobody has special favoritism. God has not shown favorites. Everybody in this world is given by God a measure of faith. That's why a little child trusts his mother. I went out here. The little Depper boy who has cerebral palsy, I think it is. He meets me out here every Sunday when he's able to. And so he got up on top of the hat rack, coat rack. And I said, jump off. Now he had a choice. See, he had faith. He could put his faith in me or the coat rack. Personally, I would have chosen the coat rack. But he had a choice. And so at first, he wouldn't do it. Now then, he just plops off. I mean, sometimes it's hard to catch him. He just way up, just like he's diving off a diving board. And the little fellow, why? Because he put his faith in Brother Hiles. Now, he didn't have to. He could have put his faith in something else. He could have put his faith in his daddy's arms to take him down. It's up to him. Now, you sit here this morning. You're not saved. You have exercised the measure of faith that God gave you. Enough faith to be concerned about your soul. Congratulations! You are concerned about your soul. And in honor of that proper use of that faith, God has come this morning and said to you, I am giving to you more faith. I am giving you faith to believe. And everybody in this room can walk out those doors a child of God if you want to. And if you don't, it'll be because you squander the faith that God's given you. If you go to hell, it'll be because you misappropriated the faith that God gave you. Then, or you're saved this morning, or you're afraid, doubts, fears. Ladies and gentlemen, the moment you got saved, God gave you some more faith. Now that faith may be used to trust Him and what He chooses to happen in your life or not to trust Him. Now look, I'm almost through, but listen carefully. You this morning have enough burdens in your life to where you could doubt God if you want to. As I said last Sunday morning, you have enough burdens in your life. Every one of us does. You could look up to God and say, God, you're not fair. I can't trust you. Or you can say, you don't look fair to me, but you're God. And if I can trust my never dying soul to you, I can trust my life to you. If I can trust you for eternity, I can trust you for 70 years. If I can trust you to take care of me forever, I can trust you to take care of me tomorrow. It's up to you. So in your hands this morning, there is faith. If you're saved, there is faith that you can trust God for your needs, trust God for His goodness, or you can doubt Him. It's up to you. I said five things. I said, number one, God gives to all the measure of faith. I said, number two, you may use that faith where you want to use it. I said, number three, God will give you more faith when you use the faith He now gives you for Him. Okay, if I have great faith in God, where did I get it? First, I got it when I trusted Christ as my Savior. Then He gave me faith to believe He could take care of me in the army. I believed He could. Then He gave me faith to believe He could see me through college. I believed He could. Then He gave me faith to believe that He could see me through my first church. And He did. Then He gave me faith to believe He could see me through my ministry, and He did. Then He gave me faith to believe He could take care of me through battles and heartaches, and He did. But I'm here to serve notice on you, ladies and gentlemen, that our God is a wonderful God, and He's worthy of your confidence. Reason with me for 1 second, and I'll quit. There's no place else to get faith. There's no place else to get faith. Now, doesn't it make sense to put your faith back in the one who gave it to you? It's logic.
Why don't you this morning say, hot dog, rah, rah. I realized for the first time in my life, I sit here, an unsaved person without Christ. The hot dog, rah, rah, whoopee, 15 for team. God has given me now. I have it now. All I need to get my soul saved and go to heaven when I die. We give the invitation. After a while, you trot down these aisles and you tell the fellow at the end of the aisle, you're willing to put your faith in Christ. It's up to you. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean that you'll never doubt. If you put your money, if you choose Gainer Bank and put your money there, you may doubt it, but your money's still there. You're still putting your trust in Gainer Bank. You put your faith in Christ, you may go home and say, wonder if I did the right thing. The key is the word did. You already did it. Done. Done. Jesus, here I am. I'm lost. The devil says follow him. You say follow you. I've got faith here. Shall I believe him? Shall I believe you? Fool on you, devil. I believe Jesus. And this morning, if you're here and you believed him, he's given you more faith. You just keep putting that faith in him. You trust him to care for you, and then he gives you more faith, and you trust him to give you his power, and he gives you more faith, and you trust him to give you wisdom, and he gives you more faith, and you trust him to give you confidence in him, that he knows what he's doing no matter what happens in your life, and you just keep on. And then one of these days, you'll be a person of great faith. But it's up to you. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, blessed, glorious truth.